Listen to this, quote, "The streets of Paris are sad. I want to build a robot that will make them happy again." Those are the remarkable words of a 10-year-old girl who applied to a PhD fellowship for innovation in France and was accepted. You may have already heard the story of Eva, who will spend her sizable winning stipend on studying this summer. It's another indication that the artificial intelligence world and the so-called effective computing worlds are colliding. Can computers affirmatively affect our moods, detect our states of mind, and then calculate interactions that can create real relationships? Rana El-Khayoubi believes the answer to that question is absolutely yes. She began working with emotional recognition technology at MIT's Media Lab. Now, she is the co-founder and CEO of Affectiva, a company that develops software that can work with any device with a camera to measure facial expressions and map out our emotions.
We are an emotion recognition company. We develop algorithms that can read and respond to human emotion through facial expressions. And basically the way this works, our face is one of the most powerful ways to communicate human emotion. You know, our faces can communicate everything from happiness to surprise and disgust and confusion and interest. All of these different emotions can reflect on your face. And basically we use computer vision and machine learning to track the movements on the face, the difference in textures and wrinkles and all that to understand the person's emotional state. And to date, we've collected over 4.3 million face videos from 75 countries around the world. And it's all opt-in. So we always ask people for their permission to share their emotional responses. And we've been able to mine this data, and it's been quite fascinating.
Now, you're competing with a pretty darn good system of reading emotion from facial expressions, and that is, you know, the human visual capacity. How would you use this in accordance with the vision, and how would your system be actually better sometimes than humans?
Yeah, absolutely. So humans are the experts in reading human emotion, and in fact, we have a team of expert face coders that essentially provide the training data for all our algorithms. So they spend, you know, their time coding different facial videos and saying, okay, this person looks curious, this person looks confused. And that data becomes the training data for the machine learning system. I do think, though, that the more interesting possibilities of this technology is when you think about where we're going with our devices and with our technology. A lot of our technology and our AI systems have very high cognitive skills, but not enough emotional intelligence. And of course, you know, you and I know that EQ, like having a high emotional intelligence, makes you more persuasive, more likable, you know, more trustworthy. And so we envision a world where all our devices and our cars and our fridges and our mobile phones are going to be responsive to human emotion. And this is really where our technology platform comes in. It can allow a social robot to read your emotions in real time and say, oh, John, you know, you look like you're a little bit stressed today. What's going on? Like, how can I help you?
So you could actually have a real-time application in a drivable, you know, a driverless car that, you know, I get in the car, I'm really stressed out and tired, and the camera in the car sees me and goes, just relax, I'll slow down, we're in no hurry, and it could read that from my face.
Exactly.
That's pretty amazing slash spooky. Although I can see how it would reassure me. I could see how I would feel better, even if it was a machine.
Yeah, I do agree with you that there's a blurry line between what people will accept as something that adds value versus rub people the wrong way. But we are already interacting with our, you know, virtual AI assistants like Siri and some of the newer versions of Siri in a very conversational way. And I think it makes a lot of sense for these systems to be able to say, oh, did I just annoy you? Like, I'm sorry. Or, you know, there's a lot of research showing that people actually confide in these virtual assistants. Like, they'll say, you know, I am being subjected to abuse, or I'm on my way to my chemotherapy session. And right now, these assistants just don't respond with empathy. They kind of ignore that. And I think to build true rapport with our devices in a way that will help us eventually, I think we need to build empathy into these systems.
When did you first believe that this kind of technology could have real life applications? Did you always believe it, or was there something that happened at the Media Lab that really said to you, wow, this could go somewhere?
When I joined the Media Lab, I was focused on applying this technology to help individuals on the autism spectrum. And I remember spending some time with an autistic woman who was my age, actually, and she spent a couple of days at the Media Lab, and I was her host. And it was a life-changing experience for me to see how technology completely transformed her ability to express herself and communicate with other people around her. She's nonverbal, but she was able to communicate through, you know, through a tablet by typing. And I felt that there's a lot of we can really help individuals on the autism spectrum, and generally speaking, with mental health, you know, challenges, to understand their own emotions, but also the emotional states of others, and that would really help the quality of life. I mean, there's a lot of interest in depression as well. So often there's very clear biomarkers on the face and in the voice for depressive patients. And again, I think there's an opportunity for technology to play a role in understanding people's baselines and understanding when they deviate from that baseline and provide an early flag that something's wrong.
Rana, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Rana's story is on the cover of the most recent issue of Inc. magazine in a story called The Mind Readers.